Purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Pumchali refers to a woman who is easily carried away by men. Such a woman is never to be trusted. Unfortunately, in this present age, women are never controlled. According to the directions of the Shastra, women are never to be given freedom. When a child, a woman must be strictly controlled by her father. When she is young, she must be strictly controlled by her husband. And when she is old, she must be controlled by her elderly sons. If she is given independence and allowed to mingle unrestrictedly with men, she will be spoiled. A spoiled woman being manipulated by paramours might even kill her husband. The example is given here because a yogi desiring to get free from material conditions must always keep his mind under control.
Этот пример дан здесь, потому что люди, желающие достичь, обрести свободы от материальных условий, должен всегда держать свой под контролем.
Шрила Бхактисиддханта Сарасвати Такур used to say that in the morning our first business is to beat the mind with shoes 100 times, and before going to bed, to beat the mind 100 times with a broomstick.
Шрила Бхактисиддханта Сарасвати Такур обычно говорил, что утром нужно, прежде всего, первым занятием должно быть окупить ум сотни раз башмаком, и затем, перед тем, как отправиться спать, еще раз побить ум 100 раз палкой.
In this way, one's mind can be kept under control.
Таким образом, ум будет под контролем.
An uncontrolled mind and an unchaste wife are the same.
Неконтролируемый ум и нечестивая жена – это то же самое.
An unchaste wife can kill her husband any time, and an uncontrolled mind, followed by lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion, can certainly kill the yogi.
Даже как нечестивая жена может даже убить своего мужа в любое время. Также неконтролируемый ум, который следует за вожделением, гневом, жадностью, безумием, завистью, иллюзией, несомненно может убить йоги.
When a yogi is controlled by the mind, he falls down into the material condition.
Когда ум контролирует йоги, то этот йоги падает в материальную условность.
One should be very careful of the mind, just as the husband should be careful of an unchaste wife.
Нужно всегда быть осторожным с умом, подобно тому, как муж должен всегда быть осторожным с нечестивой женой.
Okay, where's the sound of the translator? Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hey Krishna, Kuruna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jirakpate, Kupesha, Kupika, Kanta, Radhakanta, Namastute, Tapta, Kancha, Namurangi, Radhe, Kuruvanishwari, Krishabhana, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Hare, Hare. Mancha kapa drugas cha kipasam nubai vicha patitanam bhuvane yo vaishnavi yo namo namaha narayanam namaskritcha nuram sahiva nalotamam devam sarasatam vyasam tarushayam vilayam. So what's the point that's being made in the verse today?
Чем же суть стиха, который сегодня прочитан?
Hello. Can you tell me the point that's being made in the verse today? What's the example that Lord Rishabhdev gives in the verse? What does it say?
Что он говорит?
Что если жена будет нечестивой, то она может убить даже своего мужа.
So then what does it have to do with the yogi?
И что же насчет йоги?
Как же йоги, если они будут позволять наслаждение своего ума, то они также будут убить своего ума.
Также что?
Побеждение своего ума.
Very good. Very nice that you're listening. So the main point is controlling the mind. And this is the basis of the process of yoga and meditation. It's the basis. And it's the basis of Krishna consciousness also.
Это также является основой сознания Кришны.
That we keep our minds and our senses thoroughly controlled and fixed in the service of the Lord.
Чтобы сохранять свой ум и чувства под контролем.
Now, Lord Rishabhdev, he uses a very powerful example.
И здесь Господь Рishabhdev дает очень мощный пример.
He says that if a woman is unchaste, then she'll easily be taken away by her lovers.
Он говорит, что если женщина неблагочестива, она может быть легко увлечена своим любовником.
And then because she fails to have discrimination and chastity, she'll even be able to kill her husband.
И поскольку она нарушает это целомудрие, то она даже может убить своего мужа.
Now, Srila Prabhupada, he chose to give half of his purport to that statement. Prabhupada explained that in proper Vedic society, women were never given freedom. He said when the girl is young, she's strictly controlled by her father. And when she's a young girl, then she's strictly controlled by her husband. And then when she becomes old, she's strictly controlled by her senior sons that she will live with. So this is solely for the protection of the ladies.
Это все предназначено для защиты женщин.
Because Srila Prabhupada has explained that the ladies, they don't have the power to discriminate in the same way that the men do.
Потому что Прабхупада объясняет, что женщины, они не могут различать.
They don't have the power to discriminate in the same way that men have.
Также их не могут различать также, как это делают мужчины.
And so for that reason, they can become distracted from the path of self-realization.
Таким же образом можно быть, можно сбиться с пути самореализации.
So they can become distracted from what is the goal of life.
И можно сбиться с толку, что же, в чем же цель жизни.
due to the fact that there are so many unchaste men in society who are eagerly willing to distract and spoil the ladies.
В обществе существует очень много мужчин, которые страстно желают испортить женщин.
So this principle is there not to make the woman like a slave.
Принцип состоит в том, чтобы не использовать женщин как рабу.
But the principle is there to actually give women protection so that women can actually utilize the valuable goal of the human life.
Суть состоит в том, чтобы защищать женщин и дать им возможность использовать по назначению человеческую форму жизни.
But when Srila Prabhupada would preach this principle, he would be attacked by people.
Когда Прабхупада проповедовал этот принцип, то на него он подвергался нападкам.
At the time when Prabhupada was preaching in America, there was a movement going which was known as women's liberation.
В то время, когда Прабхупада проповедовал в Америке, начиналось движение, называемое женская независимость.
And they would attack Prabhupada as being a chauvinist.
И они делали нападки на Прабхупаду, что он как шовинист.
As a person who just wanted to control women.
Тот это человек, который пытается контролировать женщин.
And Prabhupada used to take great delight when he would go and he would preach. And then he would get attacked even in the newspapers.
И когда Прабхупада отправлялся туда проповедовать, то он подвергался нападкам даже со стороны газет.
So, Srila Prabhupada, one time he was flying from Chicago.
Однажды Прабхупада прилетел из Чикаго.
And he had been preaching this principle when he was in Chicago.
То есть в Чикаго, и он там проповедовал этот принцип.
And when he got on the airplane, somebody gave him a newspaper, and there was a whole article in the newspaper how Prabhupada was a chauvinist.
И когда он был в аэропорту, его брали интервью, и в газете вышла целая статья о том, что Прабхупада шовинист.
And Prabhupada, he read the article and he started laughing.
И когда Прабхупада прочел эту статью, он стал смеяться.
And he said, the ladies want to be independent, but the ladies should always be protected.
И он сказал, что женщины не должны быть независимыми, но всегда быть под защитой.
He said they feel that they're in liberated position. They feel that they're liberated. The ladies feel that they're liberated.
Женщины чувствуют, что они освобождены.
But they're not liberated.
Но они на самом деле не освобождены.
And then Prabhupada, he turned to one of his disciples and he looked at him and he said, if they want to be liberated, they should shave their heads.
Он сказал, если они хотят быть... Он повернулся к ученику, одному сказал, если они хотят быть освобождены, они должны побрить свою голову.
Prabhupada said, I shave my head, and you boys shave your head, you're in a liberated position.
Он говорит, вы все ребята, и я брею свою голову, и вы также бреете голову.
If they want women's liberation, tell them to shave their heads.
Если они хотят освобождения для женщин, независимости, пусть побреют голову.
Go tell them.
Идите и скажите им.
He turned to his disciple and he said, there's air hostess on the airplane. Go tell her to shave her head.
И он сказал ученику, вот есть здесь стюардесса, скажите, пускай побреют свою голову.
Go tell her now.
Идите, скажите сейчас.
Go tell her if she wants to be liberated like man, she should shave her head.
Если она хочет быть освобождена как мужчина, пусть побреет голову.
Go!
Иди.
Prabhupada's disciple, he sat there anyway.
Ученик Прабхупады не мог ничего сказать.
Prabhupada said, go now and tell her!
Прабхупада говорит, ну давай, иди сейчас же.
Immediately, go!
Быстро, сейчас же.
And this disciple was just terrified, he didn't know what to do.
И ученик был полностью сбит с толку, не знал, что делать.
And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, what is the matter with you?
Prabhupada
looked at him and said, what is the matter with you?
И Прабхупада посмотрел на него и сказал, что с тобой?
You cannot make a joke?
И ты не можешь просто пошутить?
Prabhupada liked to make jokes.
Прабхупада, он любил шутить.
So, it's an important point.
Это очень важный момент.
That we want to protect all of our ladies.
Что мы должны защищать наших женщин.
because the goal of life is self-realization. And we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to pursue that goal nicely and not become distracted.
И мы должны дать возможность людям достичь этой цели и замечательным образом не быть сбитыми с толку.
But the mentality of everyone in society is that they're looking for sense gratification.
Но умонастроение в обществе таково, что все лишь стремятся к чувственному наслаждению.
And the height of that idea of sense gratification is enjoyment with the opposite sex.
Вершина этого чувственного наслаждения — это наслаждение противоположным полом.
The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that people have the mentality that if they'll simply rub flesh together, then they'll become satisfied.
В Шримад Бхагаватам объясняется, что люди...
If they rub their flesh together, then they become satisfied.
Люди думают, что если они будут плоть тереть друг об друга, то они будут удовлетворены.
And so people are ready to exploit one another for that variety of pleasure.
И люди готовы эксплуатировать друг друга ради этого так называемого счастья.
And some, they generally have a mantra that they use, which is very good for exploiting one another.
Они даже готовы получить мантру для того, чтобы лучшим образом эксплуатировать друг друга.
Just like we have a mantra which is very good for self-realization.
Подобным образом, как у нас есть мантра, которая хороша для самореализации.
They have a mantra which is very good for exploitation.
У них есть мантра, которая хороша для эксплуатации.
Their mantra is "I love you".
Это мантра "Я люблю тебя".
Я люблю тебя.
Я люблю тебя.
Я люблю.
Люблю
тебя. Тебя. Я люблю тебя. Я люблю тебя. Now, people hear this mantra in the world and they lose their discrimination. It's such a powerful mantra. They think, oh, this person loves me. This person cares for me. But it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is I want to exploit you.
И что же это значит, на самом деле я хочу эксплуатировать?
You have something that I want for my pleasure.
У тебя что-то есть, что пригодно для моего наслаждения.
You have a body that I can use for my pleasure.
У тебя есть тело, которое я могу использовать для наслаждения тебя.
Or you can provide me some sort of emotional satisfaction.
Или ты можешь мне предоставить некоторый вид эмоционального удовлетворения.
Or if I capture you, then you can cook my food and wash my clothes.
Или если я заполучу тебя, то я ты мне сможешь готовить пищу и стирать одежду.
But the question is it love?
Но вопрос в том, что это является ли любовью?
It's not love at all.
Это совсем не любовь.
It's lust.
Это просто похоть.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the difference between love and lust.
И в Чайтане Чаритамрите Кришнадас Кавираджа Госвами объясняет разницу между любовью и похотью.
He says that love is absolutely pure.
Он говорит, любовь абсолютно чиста.
And when one loves, he doesn't expect anything in return for that sentiment.
И он говорит, что если кто-то любит кого-то, он не ожидает чего-то взамен.
He says, but lust is when a person does something and they're expecting everything in return.
Но похоть — это означает, что когда человек что-то делает, ожидая что-то взамен для себя.
Based on the gratification of the senses.
И основано на удовлетворении чувств.
So, Srila Prabhupada said that in this material world, there's actually no real concept of love.
Прабхупада говорит, что в материальном мире нет действительно представления о любви.
In the past, Srila Prabhupada would say that the closest conception that you can have to like selfless love in this world is the sentiment that the mother experiences for her child.
И позже Прабхупада говорил, что ближе всего можно сравнить любовь, настоящую любовь, с теми чувствами, которые, бескорыстными чувствами, которые мать имеет по отношению к ребенку.
Because mother will selflessly serve her child.
Потому что мать, она бескорыстно служит ребенку.
Lord Chaitanya used that example when he was speaking to Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami.
Этот пример использовал Господь Чайтанья, когда разговаривал с Харидас Тхакуром и Санатаном Госвами.
He told Haridas and Sanatan, he said, "Do you want to know the way I really think about you?"
Он говорил Харидасу, "Ты знаешь, как я думаю о тебе?"
He said, "I think of you in the way that a mother thinks of her small children."
Он говорит, "Я думаю о тебе таким же образом, как мать." It's
very nice that Lord Chaitanya is experiencing that sentiment for his pure devotees. He said, sometimes the mother is giving service to the child. And the child passes a stool of urine.
Ребенок испражняется и мочится на ней.
He says, mother never takes offense.
Но мать никогда не оскорбляется этим.
He said, and Chaitanya Charitamrita has described it, the mother, she even takes the stool of her child, and she's not offended, but she thinks it's like sandalwood paste. Yeah.
Chaitanya Charitamrita говорится, что хотя ребенок даже испражняется на нее, она ее не оскорбляется, но даже воспринимает это как сандаловую пасту.
Never takes any offense at all at what the child does.
Она совсем не оскорбляется тем, что делает.
So this is like a feeling of love.
Это как чувство любви.
But even that's changed these days.
Но даже сейчас, даже это сейчас уже изменилось.
Is it the mothers, they even kill the baby in the womb before the baby is born?
Потому что матери даже убивают ребенка в чреве, пока еще он не родился.
So this is first side of the point that Prabhupada is making today.
Это первая сторона того момента, который Прабхупада здесь объясняет сегодня.
We should very carefully protect our ladies so that our ladies can rise to the position of self-realization.
Что мы должны очень бережно защищать и заботиться о наших женщинах, чтобы они смогли заниматься самореализацией.
Now Srila Prabhupada says that if a lady becomes unchaste, and if she's not properly controlled,
и правильно не контролируемой,
then what might happen is she may be taken away by paramours. And in that situation, she might even develop the mentality to kill her husband. Due to lack of good discrimination. So that's used as an example for people who are practicing the yogic process. Meaning that the mind should always be kept under control. If our minds are not under control, then our minds can cause us to fall again into the material pool.
Если ум не будет под контролем, то он имеет возможность снова обусловиться материально.
So Krishna explains this point to Arjuna throughout Bhagavad Gita.
В Бхагавад Гите Кришна объясняет этот момент Арджуне.
And particularly in the third chapter he explains this point nicely to Arjuna.
И конкретно в третьей главе он это объясняет.
In the third chapter, he explains to Arjuna how he can work. And how he can perform his duties in order to purify himself. In the beginning of the third chapter, the Lord tells Arjuna that there are two paths of self-realization. He explains that one path is by work. And he explains that another path is by meditation. Now when Arjuna hears this, he becomes a little bewildered. Because in the second chapter, the Lord has told Arjuna that his qualification for self-realization will be to work very hard. So the path of working in the Lord's devotional service and dovetailing everything in the Lord's devotional service is known as karma yoga or Krishna consciousness. And the path of meditation is known as Jnana Yoga. So Arjuna was attracted by this activity of meditation. Why was he attracted? Because he was a soft-hearted devotee. And he knew that if he had to work on the battlefield, he was going to have to kill a lot of people who were near and dear to him. What did Krishna do to Arjuna in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna said, he said, Govinda, do me a favor. Do something for me. He said, drive my chariot between the two opposing armies so I can see who I'm going to have to fight in this great battle. So what did Krishna do? Krishna started driving the chariot. And he drove the chariot and he parked it exactly in front of Arjuna's grandfather and Arjuna's guru. And then Krishna smiled. He said, these are some of the people that you're going to have to kill in this battle. So Arjuna became really distressed. He said, how can I kill my grandfather? How can I fight with my very guru? So because he was a soft-hearted devotee, he said, well, I think it's better for me to just go to the jungle and meditate. And to lead a very simple life. And Krishna said, no, your qualification will come by working in the service of the Lord. So in the beginning of the third chapter, again he mentions meditation and work. So Arjuna tells the Lord, you've given me two instructions. Now clarify what you mean. So I'll actually choose the right path. So then the Lord, he starts to explain to Arjuna the path of actually working, but with a sense of renunciation. Renunciation. So he said, this is how you should actually function. You should perform your prescribed duties in society. But while performing those duties, you should offer the results of those duties to me. And by acting in this way, you'll become purified of the reactions to work. So, in other words, what he did is he taught Arjuna how he should work properly, and in that way, the mind and senses would become purified and under control.
Он объясняет Арджуне, как действовать подобным образом, чувства и ум будут под контролем.
So he gave a whole instruction to Arjuna on prescribed duties and work. And then in the end of the third chapter, what does Arjuna say? He says, okay, now you've told me how to do things properly. But I have something to tell you. Even though I work properly, sometimes something pushes me where I don't want to work properly. Something starts to overwhelm me. And it makes me not want to perform my duties properly. So what is that thing which overwhelms me? And makes me work badly. And Krishna tells Arjuna that's lust. It wasn't difficult for Krishna to answer the question. He says it's lust and it's the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. And he explained to Arjuna that that lust is sitting within our bodies. First of all, he tells Arjuna that lust is born from contact with the material mode of passion. Now Srila Prabhupada explains something nice in his purport. He explains that lust originally is love. He explains that in our original state we are loving Krishna. But when that love comes in contact with the material mode of passion, it becomes transformed. Prabhupada gives the example of cooking in the kitchen. He says, when you're in the kitchen, you can start to boil milk. And then you can put something sour, some sour substance inside the milk, and the milk will turn into cheese. So he says that originally our state is that we love the Lord. But that love for Krishna has come in contact with Rajagun. So it's become transformed. And instead of being love for the Lord, it's become lust. So he says that lust is like a big fire. And it simply burns anything that comes in contact with it. So it sounds like lust is a dangerous thing. That if anything it comes in contact with, it will simply burn. So then Krishna tells Arjuna that lust is situated within the body. And he tells Arjuna where the lust is situated. Where does he say? Right, he says that in our senses, lust is there. Mind, lust is there. In our intelligence, lust is there. So that lust is always burning in our senses. Therefore, we want to engage our senses in sense gratification.
Вот почему мы хотим заняться чувственным наслаждением.
The mind is wanting to satisfy the demands of the senses.
И также ум хочет быть наслаждаемым.
It's always going on.
Это всегда происходит.
So the idea that Krishna presents, he says, you have to start to eliminate the enemy which is known as lust.
И Кришна говорит, что ты должен покорить этого врага, именуемого вожделением.
And he says the way to do that is by strictly engaging your senses in the process of bhakti yoga.
И он говорит, что способ, которым ты можешь сделать это строго занимать свои чувства в процессе бхакти йоги.
Now he could have told Arjuna that you start by your intelligence. He could have told Arjuna to start by your intelligence.
Он мог сказать Арджуне, что это можно делать посредством разума.
But our acharyas have explained that Krishna, he said, strictly engage your senses in the activities of bhakti yoga because the senses are more gross.
Но ачарья объясняет, что Кришна говорит Арджуне занимать строго свои чувства служения ему, потому что они очень грубы.
Mind is more subtle thing.
Ум более тонкая вещь.
And intelligence is more subtle than the mind.
А разум еще более тонкий, чем ум.
So he says, begin by strictly regulating your senses and the activities of bhakti yoga.
И говорится, что начните посредством строгого занятия своих чувств.
Then your senses will become purified.
Бхакти-йоги, тогда они смогут очиститься.
And then your mind will become purified because your mind is a sixth sense.
И поскольку ум это шестое чувство, то он также очистится.
Srila Prabhupada would give the example of moving towards the sun.
Prabhupada дает пример путешествия к солнцу.
He would say that if you move towards the sun, you become warmer and warmer.
Он говорит, что по мере того, как мы будем к нему приближаться, будет становиться жарче и жарче.
So if you will engage your senses in the activities of bhakti yoga, then you'll move towards Krishna and your senses will gradually become more and more purified and the enemy lust will be removed. And then your mind will become purified of the enemy lust and engaged in the service of the Lord.
И тогда ум также будет освобождаться от этого вожделения и обретать любовь к Богу.
So this is very important for us as devotees.
Это очень важно для преданных.
Senses must always be engaged in Lord's service.
Чувства всегда должны быть заняты в служении Господа.
And mind must be always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna.
И ум всегда должен быть поглощен в служении Кришны.
Many times in the Gita, Krishna pushes this mental culture of devotional service.
Во многих местах в Гите Кришна он объясняет это умственное состояние в преданном служении.
Until he comes to like the ultimate instruction that he gives in Bhagavad Gita, which is to absorb your mind in thinking of me.
Даже последнее наставление в Бхагавад Гите это полностью погрузить свой ум.
He says in the 18th chapter, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Majjadi Mam Namaskaru Mam Ivaisa Sisatyam Te Pratijani Priyosi Me. He says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me.
В этом стихе из 18 главы Кришна говорит, всегда думай обо мне, поклоняйся мне и служи мне.
Offer your respect and honor to me. And he says, if you do this, I make a promise to you. My promise is that I'll take you back to the spiritual world. My promise is I will lift the influence of the material modes of nature and allow you to go back to the spiritual world.
Материальной природы, так чтобы они позволили тебе возродиться от одной.
So this is our big responsibility. If we keep our senses and if we keep our mind engaged, then there's every chance that we will actually be able to perfect the process of Krishna consciousness. We can perfect the path of Krishna consciousness. But if the mind is not absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and if our senses are not nicely engaged, then the mind can become like the unchaste woman who will kill her husband. In the Gita, Krishna explains that if the mind will become attracted to even one of the senses, if the mind and senses aren't strictly controlled, then even a person who is very sober and a person who is very steady in self-realization can again be dragged down into sense gratification. So what is the most practical process for us to keep the senses in mind engaged in the Lord's service? We choose to apply the direct process. And the direct process is to hear about Krishna. And the essence of that is to chant the Maha Mantra. This chanting is such a potent process. More potent than, say, Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, or Mystic Yoga. If one will directly engage his mind in the service of the Lord, he can be protected from falling down. Whereas we have many instances of yogis who have been practicing their meditation and yoga for thousands of years, but then their minds go out of control and they fall down.
Есть множество примеров того, как йоги занимались медитацией сотни тысяч лет, но затем ум выходил из-под их контроля.
Just like in Vrindavan, about 1 kilometer from Krishna Balaram Mandir.
Подобно тому, как во Вриндаване, расстояние от километра от Кришна Баларама Мандира.
There's a beautiful little ashram in the country.
Есть
and it's on a hill above the Jamuna River. And that was the ashram of Sabari Muni. Sabari Muni. And Sabari Muni was a great yogi. And he used to sit on the bottom of the Jamuna and he used to perform yoga. And he stayed down there for thousands of years doing yoga on the bottom of the Jamuna. And one day while he was doing yoga, he opened his eyes a little bit. And he looked ahead and what did he see? He saw 2 fish engaging in sex life. Now, just by seeing that, his mind became agitated. And he fell down from the path of yoga. I mean, it couldn't have been so exciting seeing 2 fish engaging in sex. But his mind became disturbed and agitated. But then, look at the situation of Srila Haridas Thakur. He was the great Namacharya of the chanting of the holy name. Haridas Thakur at one time was living in a cave near Advaitacharya's house. It was a cave on the bank of the Ganga River. So Haridas, he was sitting aside of his cave. And from morning to night, Haridas was simply chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Haridas would chant 64 rounds three times. Now, one time I made a calculation. On the basis of chanting one round in about 6 or 7 minutes. And that amount of rounds, it would take practically 24 hours to chant. But he would sit there in great ecstasy, just chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He wouldn't worry about eating, wouldn't worry about sleeping. He simply had so much taste in chanting the Maha Mantra. His senses were absorbed. His mind was completely absorbed. He was oblivious to everything that was going on. Then one evening he was chanting in his cave. And one very, very beautiful lady came to his cave. This lady, she actually had the most beautiful features of anyone in the universe. And she was dressed in such an attractive way as to exhibit those features. So Haridas was chanting, and then he opened his eyes and saw this lady there. She looked at them and she said, "Oh Thakur, I have come here for a specific purpose." "I can see that you're the most young and handsome and qualified man that exists. Therefore, I've come here simply to have union with you." So Haridas, he just was chanting. The lady said, "Ochen harasho." He said, "Very good." He said, I'll certainly satisfy all your desires." He said, "But first I have to finish my japa." He said, "I've taken a vow to chant so many rounds per day. As soon as my rounds are finished, then I'll satisfy you in any way that you want." And then he just continued, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And then Chaitanya Charitamrita describes what that lady started to do. So she started making different sorts of postures in front of Haridas Thakur. And it's described that the postures that she was making would make a very sober person like Brahma even become mad. But Haridas wasn't disturbed at all. Because his mind was so deeply absorbed in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that he had no attraction for what this lady was doing. So then he just kept chanting. And then the end of the night came. And at the end of the night, the lady looked at me and said, "Do you know who I am?" And then Haridas Thakur smiled and he said, "Of course I know who you are." And she said, "I am Maya Devi." She said, "I am a personification of the entire material cosmos, and I've come before you to try to attract you." In other words, she was Durga Devi, who is attracting everyone within this material world. And she said, "I came before you to attract you, and I couldn't do it. Because you were so much, your mind and senses were so much absorbed in the chanting of this Maha Mantra. And then she told Haridas, she said, "My husband Shiva, he initiated me in his mantra a long time ago." Said, "My husband Shiva, he worships Lord Ramachandra. So he's always chanting Ram, 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 Ram. And he initiated me in that mantra many yugas ago." But she said, "I can see that you're tasting something in this chanting of Maha Mantra that is much sweeter and much more absorbing than even chanting this Ram Mantra." So she said, "My desire is that you will initiate me in the chanting of the Krishna Mantra." So Haridas said, "Hare Krishna." And this way Haridas Thakur, he actually initiated Maya Devi in the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So this is the direct process that we have to engage for our success in controlling the senses and the mind. Always hear this Maha Mantra. Always chant the Maha Mantra. Rupa Goswami, he wrote one very nice prayer describing the potency of the Maha Mantra. He said, "Who can understand how much nectar is contained in the two syllables Krishna?" He said, "When I hear these two senses, when I hear these two syllables, they go inside my ear, they go within my heart, my mind and my senses become completely under control." He said, "And then I begin to chant this Maha Mantra. I begin to chant Krishna." He said, and the taste of that mantra is so sweet that I immediately desire to have millions of tongues. He says, "Then I start to hear Krishna. And the sound vibration is so sweet that I want to have millions of ears."
этот звук столь сладок, что я хочу иметь миллионы ушей, чтобы слышать его.
So Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, he said, this is certainly the most wonderful description I've ever heard of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
И Господь Чайтанья Махапрабху сказал, что, несомненно, это самое лучшее прославление Харе Кришна Махамантры, которое я когда-либо слышал.
And if we'll chant with determination, it will have the same effect for us.
И если мы будем с решимостью повторять Махамантру, то это произведет у нас тот же эффект.
What does it mean for us to chant with determination?
Что означает воспевать с решимостью?
That we'll chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, avoiding the 10 offenses to the Holy Name. This mantra has all potency to actually lift us to the transcendental platform. But we must avoid making mistakes in the chanting. So a devotee will very diligently avoid performing the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Holy Name. And then one will very quickly be elevated to the transcendental platform. So this is determination. And this is the great effort that we must make while chanting. And for us to actually advance in devotional service, two qualifications must always be... Well, actually for us to perfect our Krishna consciousness, two things must be there.
На самом деле для нас, чтобы продвинуться в преданном служении, необходимы две вещи.
One thing must be the great endeavor that we make with great determination in Krishna consciousness.
Первое – это то, что мы должны совершать огромное усилие с большой решимостью, чтобы продвинуться в сознании.
And then when we make such a great endeavor, Lord Krishna will show His mercy to us.
И если мы будем совершать такое большое усилие, Господь Кришна проявит свою милость для нас.
And when that mercy becomes revealed to us, when the mercy becomes bestowed upon us, then our path back to Godhead is very easy.
И когда эта милость снизойдет на нас, то наше продвижение станет намного легче.
Now, there's a good example of that.
Есть замечательный пример этого.
And we'll give the example because it's the month of Damodar.
Мы дадим этот пример, потому что сейчас месяц Дамодар.
And it's the example of Mother Yasoda and Damodar.
Этот пример о маме Ясоде и Дамодаре.
Now, you know, Mother Yasoda, this month of Damodar is this Damodar Lila. And Mother Yasoda, she was holding baby Krishna. She was giving milk to the baby. And then the milk on the stove was boiling.
И внезапно на печи сбежало молоко.
So Yasoda, she put the baby down and she went to take the milk off the stove.
И она спустила ребенка на пол и побежала снимать молоко.
And when she put the baby down, they became very angry.
Но когда она опустила вниз ребенка, он очень разозлился.
And he started screaming.
И начал кричать.
And he started breaking things.
И разбивая предметы.
And breaking pots of yogurt. And he was doing all types of mischief. So Yasoda came back and saw what the baby had done. And she said, "You rascal, I'm going to catch you and I'm going to beat you." And so then baby Krishna, he became very much afraid of Mother Yasoda. Kunti Devi says that this is an amazing thing. Is that Krishna is the Supreme Person. And that when his mother says, "I'm going to beat you," he actually gets tears in his eyes. So Yasoda Devi, she took up a stick. Started chasing the baby. And then all of the different ladies from the neighborhood, they came.
и все женщины пришли туда.
And they were divided into two groups.
И они разделились на две группы.
One was the group saying, "Beat the child."
И одна группа сказала, да, его нужно побить.
Said this kid comes to my house every day.
Этот мальчишка постоянно ко мне домой приходит.
He steals the yogurt.
Ворует йогурт.
He steals the ghee and butter. He feeds it to the monkeys. You know, and I come in and I catch him in the middle and he says he's not doing anything. And then, you know, I have this new baby in my home. And it took me 3 hours to put my baby to sleep the other day. And as soon as I got the baby asleep, then Krishna came sneaking in and he came up to my baby and pinched my baby on his backside and the baby woke up again. They said, the kid's a rascal, you should beat him. And then when I catch him stealing the butter and yogurt, what does he do? He passes urine on the kitchen floor. You know, so the kid's bad, beat him up. And then the other group of gopis, they're saying, no, don't beat him because he's so beautiful and he's so sweet. So Jasoda decided that what she was going to do is she was going to tie Krishna up to that pot where they churn the yogurt. So she started calling for rope. Started telling her maidservants to bring rope. So she would put the ropes around Krishna's belly and around that clay pot, but the ropes were 2 fingers too short. So then she'd call for more rope. Tie them together. And then she'd put them around Krishna's belly in the pot. And it was still 2 fingers too short. Krishna's belly wasn't getting bigger. The pot wasn't getting bigger, but still it was 2 fingers too short. Now, Nanda Maharaj has millions of cows. And whenever you have to milk a karof, you have to tie up the back legs of the karof. So he had a lot of ropes laying around the house. So they were putting so many ropes together. And it was still 2 fingers too short. And so Jasoda Devi, she was like going crazy. And she was like, sweat was on her forehead. And her hair was falling down. And her sari was falling off her shoulders. And she's going, Krishna, Krishna. And she was like making such massive endeavor in the direction of Krishna. And Krishna is just watching this whole thing going on. She's going, Krishna, Krishna. And she was crying. And finally, Krishna just looked at me like, Krishna said, come in. Krishna said, how to show? That little baby just lifted his hand and he went, Harasho. And he lifted his hand like that, he gave Jasoda his blessing. So then Jasoda, she tried to put the rope around Krishna's belly again. And the rope went all the way around Krishna's belly. it went all the way around Krishna's belly, and it went around the pot, and she tied it in a knot.
И достаточно хватило, чтобы связать его вокруг этого горшка.
I think Krishna was tied up.
Как Krishna может быть связан?
So how did it happen?
Как это может произойти?
It's not that Yashoda was very casual.
Это не так, что Yashoda очень
No, she was making a big endeavor.
She was
making such a huge endeavor. And then by making such an endeavor, Krishna gave his mercy. So our great acharyas have explained that that's what those two fingers too short on the rope actually mean.
Acharya объясняют, что означает эти
One finger is the endeavor of the devotee. And the other finger is the mercy of Krishna. So we have to make a big endeavor to keep our senses and mind engaged in the Lord's service. What does it mean? We'll absorb ourselves in chanting the Maha Mantra. We'll absorb ourselves in the instructions of our spiritual masters. We'll absorb ourselves in so many practical varieties of service in the Krishna consciousness movement.
И также поглощать свой ум в столь большое разнообразие различных видов деятельности в сознании.
Шрила Прабхупада explained that we have practical services which are given to us.
Шрила Прабхупада объясняет, что у нас есть практическое служение, данное нам.
Those services that we're given are mercy from Krishna.
И это служение дает нам милость Кришны.
We should see that they're given to us by Krishna directly.
Мы должны видеть это как То, что нам дано непосредственно самим Кришной.
And we absorb our senses, we absorb our mind, we absorb our intelligence, and how to execute those services perfectly.
И мы должны поглощать свой ум и чувства, как их занимать полностью совершенным образом в служении Кришне.
Just like Yashoda made a big endeavor in the direction of Krishna, we can make a big endeavor in the direction of Krishna also. In controlling the mind and senses and intelligence, if we'll keep these fully absorbed in the services which we've been given.
Также как Yashoda совершала большие усилия по отношению к Кришне, также и мы можем совершать большие усилия контроля своего ума и чувств, выполняя свое служение, которое нам дано.
This is like 24 years ago I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I was a 20-year-old boy at the time. And then I was attracted by the Maha Mantra. So I was in the temple and I was saying, chanting this Maha Mantra is great. And then about 3 days after I moved in the temple, they made me the temple commander. And we had a temple of about 60 people. And I had no idea what devotional service was. I had no idea what bhakti yoga was. And after 3 days, they made me the temple commander. So I started trying to organize something in the temple. And I was dealing with about 60 or so other 20, 22, 23-year-old wild American people. So after about a week, I said, "Is this yoga?" I said, "I thought you did yoga to become peaceful." I said, "I'm going crazy." You know, I'm trying to engage this guy, he tells me he's going to punch me.
Я этого парня хочу занять служение, которое хочет меня накатить.
And then there's this one guy who'll never get out of his sleeping bag. And then one guy never gets up from taking prasadam. You know, from morning till night he's just sitting there, eating prasadam. I thought I was supposed to be becoming peaceful. I'm becoming a madman. So I go to my temple president. I said, "What is going on here?" He said, "Just absorb your mind, intelligence, and your senses in this duty, and by doing it, you can become Krishna conscious." So then I was in the temple for about 2 weeks. And I was approaching my first nervous breakdown. A nervous breakdown. So my temple president, he could see what my mentality was. So he took me in the office one morning. And he said, "Prabhu, you know, this afternoon we have the university program." And you know, every week at the university we have a big feast. And I can remember the week before. There's like sweet rice, slatki ris, samosas, halava, slatki shari, sabji, pakora, chutney, yum yum yum. Everything was really good. And then he said, I said, "Yeah, I remember the feast." He said, "Anyhow, the cook is sick today. So I want you to go to the kitchen and cook a feast." What are you telling me? I don't know how to cook. He said, "Just go in the kitchen. I'll send somebody to help you. But just depend on Krishna. Absorb your senses, absorb your mind, absorb your intelligence in this activity. You can become perfect." And I went, "Boshamoy, what's going on?" But I went to the kitchen. And somehow or other I made a feast. And when I cooked that feast, then I became addicted to cooking. Now, I didn't know how to cook. But how did I look at the situation? I thought, Prabhupada has given me this service. Krishna has given me this service. So let me do it perfectly. And so then I just applied my devotional service in that way. And I became absorbed. And became like, in ISKCON I'm known as a cook. And then after some time, the temple president said, "Now go on Sankirtan." And I went, "Sankirtan? I have to go out and meet the karmis? And talk to the karmis all the time? I don't want to do that." He said, but Prabhupada said that saving the conditioned souls is what we're supposed to be doing. Then I just absorbed my mind, intelligence, and senses in that service. And Krishna helped me in every way. So in each of our endeavors, we have to make such a great effort. And then Krishna will bestow His mercy upon us. And then we'll actually, by Krishna's grace, will become protected from the influences of the material energy.
И по милости Кришны мы будем спасены от влияния материальной энергии.
So we should practice our devotional service in that way.
Каким образом мы должны практиковать свое?
Every person in every department of the temple, they should absorb themselves in their service and try to perfect that service for the pleasure of their spiritual master and the pleasure of Krishna. And then Krishna bestows mercy. Okay. Thank you very much.
Спасибо большое. Все слушали вопрос. Веда говорится, что знание уже содержится в нашем сердце. Почему же нужно слушаться Кришне? Если можно просто повторять Хари Кришна мантру.
Chanting the Maha Mantra is one aspect of hearing.
Воспевание Маха Мантры лишь один аспект слушания.
And it's the essential practice of hearing.
Это сущность практики слушания.
Hearing topics of Krishna has different aspects.
Но слушание тем связано с Кришной, это другой аспект.
Krishna has name.
Кришна имеет имя.
He has form.
Он имеет форму.
He has qualities.
Он имеет качества.
And he has pastimes.
И он имеет развлечения, игры.
So we should chant the Maha Mantra, and we should also hear the directions and the instructions of how to approach Krishna through the process of Bhakti Yoga.
Мы должны воспевать Маха Мантру и также слушать наставления тому, как обратиться, приблизиться к Кришне.
Now, Lord Chaitanya had his great disciple, whose name is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And he came down to Jagannath Puri to live with Lord Chaitanya. So then when he was going to leave, Lord Chaitanya gave him different instructions. Lord Chaitanya told him, you should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. And you should hear Srimad Bhagavatam 24 hours a day. So how could he execute such an instruction? One side of the mouth is doing Maha Mantra, and the other side of the mouth is doing Srimad Bhagavatam.
Одна часть, правая сторона рта, повторяет мантру, левая, читает Бхагаватам.
The Srimad Bhagavatam and the Maha Mantra are non-different.
Но на самом деле Srimad Bhagavatam и Maha Mantra не различны.
Sometimes he would chant Maha Mantra, and sometimes he would hear the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam that reveal all of the different aspects of the Lord.
Иногда мы порой читаем Махамантру, затем мы слушаем, читаем Шримад Бхагаватам, и это проявляет для нас все аспекты Господа.
So, we hear the topics of the Lord in the Shastra, and then we chant the Mahamantra.
Мы слушаем темы, связанные с Господом и с Бхагаватам, и также воспеваем Махамантру.
The process is by this hearing we wash our consciousness.
Этот процесс слушания просто чистит наше сознание.
Lord Chaitanya has said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavunoy, Shavanadi Siddha Chitta Kodavei Udoy. He has said that eternal love for Krishna is present within your heart.
Господь Chaitanya говорит, что чистая любовь к Кришне уже присутствует в нашем сердце.
He says, Sadhya Kavunoy. He says that perfection cannot be achieved in any other place. It's present within your heart.
Он говорит, что это любовь к Богу, совершенство не может быть недостигнуто извне. Это уже находится в нас.
But then he says, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta. He says that your chitta, or your consciousness, has to become purified by the process of Shravana.
Но затем он говорит, что ваше чита или сознание должно быть очищено посредством процесса Шравана.
And then the love will automatically awaken.
И тогда, в конечном итоге, будет достигнута эта любовь.
So,
пробуждена.
If one is a very highly qualified soul, he can sit like Haridas Thakur and he can just hear Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. But we're not like that. So we need to hear the practical descriptions. We need to hear the practical descriptions of the science of Krishna that is described in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If we hear these practical descriptions, then our faith will increase. Just like Krishna said last night in Bhagavad Gita, Yata gnasyasi tat shrinu. He says, you have to hear from me. Hear how I'm the source of everything material and I'm the source of everything spiritual. Hear how I'm the source of the three modes of material nature. Hear how the three modes are my nature, and I'm never under the influence of the three modes. Hear how being influenced by the three modes, some people will never surrender to me, and some people will approach me and surrender. And he says, and if you hear these topics from me, then you'll be able to understand me in full, even at the time of death. So we hear the topics. And we develop our faith. And our understanding. And then we absorb ourselves with more determination in the chanting of the holy name. It's like to come to the clearing stage of chanting the Maha Mantra, we have to understand so many facts about Krishna. We have to actually understand in truth how Krishna is the Supreme Person. We have to understand the real position of the living entity. We have to understand material and spiritual nature. We have to understand what is time, and we have to understand what is karma. Then we'll be able to chant with what's known as sambandhikyan, or knowledge of our relationship with the Lord. And then that will actually bring us to the position of following nicely the process of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya has described devotional service in this way. He says, first division of knowledge is known as sambandha, or knowledge of our relationship with the Lord. And he's explained that beyond that is abhideya, or knowledge of the process of devotional service. So we have to cultivate transcendental knowledge of Krishna to engage ourselves very, very nicely and attentively in the process of devotional service.
И мы должны культивировать свое преданное
knowledge of Krishna.
Знание о Кришне, чтобы замечательным образом делать свое преданное.
And cultivating knowledge of Krishna means hearing about Krishna.
А культивирование знания о Кришне означает слушать о Кришне.
Just like the point that we made last night, understanding that we're not the body is knowledge.
Как вчера вечером мы обсуждали этот момент, что понимание
but that's the realization we can have by being situated in the mode of goodness. But to actually understand Krishna is transcendental knowledge. Because Krishna is transcendental to the modes of material nature. So to understand that, we have to hear about Krishna, from Krishna himself, or from Krishna's representative.
И чтобы понять его, понять это знание, мы должны слушать самого Кришны или его представителя.
Then we can be lifted to the transcendental position.
И тогда мы можем быть возвышены до трансцендентного положения.
So both of the activities are very, very important.
Так что обе эти деятельности очень важны.
Or it's like Srila Prabhupada says that the holy name of Krishna is just like Krishna.
Или как говорит Шрила Прабхупада, что святое имя это Кришна, это сам Кришна.
So in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, there are two descriptions given of Krishna's nature.
В первой песне Бхагаватам дается два качества природы Кришны.
One says that Krishna is abhigya. Abhigya.
Одно это, что Кришна является абхигья.
What does abhigya mean? Means that he's fully conscious of everything that's going on in the universe. And then the second definition of Krishna's character is that he's Swarat. Swarat means that he's independent. Independent.
Это означает, что он независим.
So, in the holy name of the Lord is none different than Krishna. The holy name of the Lord is none different than Krishna.
Святое имя, оно не отлично от Кришны.
That means that the holy name is fully conscious of everything going on in the universe.
Это означает, что святое имя осознает все, что происходит во вселенной.
And it means that the holy name is independent.
И это означает, что святое имя независимо.
So it means that the holy name doesn't depend on anything.
То есть святое имя не зависит ни от чего.
The holy name doesn't depend on following Vedic rules and regulations.
Святое имя не зависит от следования правилам и предписаниям.
Prabhupada says the holy name doesn't even depend upon initiation.
Святое имя не зависит от инициации.
But Prabhupada says if one will properly get himself initiated. And here is the descriptions of Krishna from the holy Shastra, from the spiritual master. Then it will make the process of purification even more rapid. So two things must be there. Absorption in the holy name and hearing these descriptions of Krishna from the Shastra.
Это погруженность в святое имя и слушание тем о Кришне из Шримад-Бхагаватам.
And that will increase our faith and determination.
И это увеличит нашу решимость и энтузиазм.
Okay, anything else?
Еще вопросы?
Вы сказали, что святое имя не дается, но оно в зависимости от человека, оно может, от голоса человека, оно может быть конфликтом или каким-то. Каждый человек, он по-своему считает, что
when we chant, it's depend on our voice and how we understand this. Also, we're talking about
Krishna is not dependent on any other thing for Krishna's happiness or for Krishna's success.
Krishna, он независим от нескольких вещей, счастья или.
Now Krishna presents himself as the holy name.
Krishna представляет себя в виде святого имени.
And the holy name will certainly purify.
И несомненно святое имя очищает.
But there's a science in chanting the holy name.
Но есть наука в воспевании святого имени.
He said there's a science in serving Krishna.
Это наука в служении Кришне.
But what is that science in serving Krishna?
И в чем же эта наука в служении Кришне?
That service must be rendered free from the desire for material gain.
Это служение должно быть свободно от желаний материальных обретений.
Free from the desire for liberation.
Свободно от желания освобождения.
Favorably cultivated for the pleasure of Krishna.
И благоприятным образом культивируемо.
It's not anything that we whimsically do we can call devotional service.
Не нужно ничего делать по своей прихоти в сознании служения Кришне.
But there's a science for actually serving Krishna purely.
Но есть наука в том, чтобы служить Кришне чисто.
Otherwise, why would Srila Rupa Goswami have written a book like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to describe the process of pure devotional service?
Иначе зачем бы Шрила Рупа Госвами написал такую книгу Бхакти Расамрита Сингху, описывающую процесс преданного служения?
So Krishna is certainly independent.
Кришна, несомненно, независим.
And the holy name is certainly independent.
И святое имя также независимо.
But if you want to chant the holy name properly, and if you want to follow the process of devotional service properly, then there's a science for doing it.
Но чтобы воспевать святое имя правильно и делать служение правильно, есть наука, как это делать.
You see, so you have to learn how to properly vibrate the name.
И вы должны научиться, как правильно произносить это имя.
Free from offenses.
Без оскорблений.
How to properly execute all of the different activities of devotional service free from offense.
Как исполнять все различные деятельности без оскорблений.
This holy name is purifying everyone in the universe.
Святое имя очищает всех во всей вселенной.
It's purifying the trees, it's purifying the animals, it's purifying us.
Оно очищает растения, деревья и животных, и даже нас.
You know, it's brought us to this path of devotional service. But if we want to understand how to do it properly, then we have to make effort. We must make endeavor. Yes, sir.
Уже продвинутый стадий преданного служения Бхавы, према, детских суровица, начальный стадий. И вот я знаю, что
the same nectar of devotion, the same Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the beginning stages of devotion. That's called sadhana bhakti. The activities that we're engaging in, these are the beginning stages of devotional service. What does sadhana mean? Sadhana means that we're practicing.
Садхана означает практика.
We're practicing to become devotees.
Мы практикуемся в том, чтобы быть преданными.
Now Lord Chaitanya has said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that sadhana is the activity that will give birth to ecstasy.
Господь Чайтанья говорит, что садхана – это процесс, который приводит нас к садхане.
So what is the idea of sadhana bhakti?
В чем состоит идея садхана бхакти?
That there's 64 activities of devotional service.
Есть 64 составляющих деятельности.
That there's 9 activities of devotional service.
Есть 9 видов преданного служения.
There's 5 activities of devotional service.
Or
there's the one essential activity of devotional service, which is to chant the holy name. And by engaging in these activities, we can absorb our senses in contact with the Lord. And then that absorption acts like the iron rod on the fire that Srila Prabhupada always described. Acts like the iron rod in the fire.
Это подобно тому, как железо соприкасается с огнем, распыляется. Например, данный
Our senses become purified.
Также наши чувства очищаются.
And our mind becomes absorbed in Krishna.
И наш ум становится поглощен Кришной.
And we get very, very eager and enthusiastic just to hear about Krishna.
И мы становимся очень страстными слушать, энтузиастичными слушать о Кришне.
To the point that we'll actually get to the point where we can't live without hearing about Krishna.
И подходим к тому моменту, когда мы даже не можем жить, не слушая о Кришне.
And then when we develop such intense enthusiasm to always be hearing about Lord Krishna.
И развиваем такой сильный энтузиазм слушать о Кришне.
Then Krishna will bestow his mercy.
И тогда Кришна предоставляет нам свою милость.
And then you'll come to the spiritual platform. Then practice stops. And then you're perfect. Lord Krishna describes that position in Bhagavad Gita. He calls it Brahma Bhuta. He says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Mana Sochiti Nakamshiti. He says that you come to the spiritual platform, you become happy all the time. No hankering, no lamentation. You see the true equality of all living beings. And the most wonderful thing is from that position, then you're able to engage in direct devotional service to the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada said that actual devotional service begins with the position of perfection. And what we're doing now is practice devotional service for our purification. So those are the beginning stages of devotional service. Okay. Activities of devotional service are described.
Вопрос был, что там кратко описано эти начальные стадии, но Махарадж говорит, что на самом деле все 64 составляющих описаны.
Everything is described there.
Все описано.
And then how will one practically implement the sadhana of bhakti yoga?
И как практически совершать этот процесс садхана.
He hears from the spiritual master.
Это слушает от духовного учителя.
And he follows the spiritual master's instructions.
И следует наставление духовного
учителя. Spiritual master will teach the disciple how to execute the chanting of Hare Krishna properly.
Духовный учитель научит ученика, как правильно воспевать Хари Кришна.
How to hear from the Shastra.
Слушать Шастра.
We'll hear discussions on practically how to engage the mind and senses in the Lord's service.
И как практически занимать чувства и ум в служении Господу.
So this is Sadhana Bhakti.
В этом состоит Sadhana Bhakti.
Yes, sir.
Кришна говорит, что у него нет никого дороже, чем его чистые преданные, но в то же время он посылает своих чистых преданных проповедовать материальный мир, где очень много опасностей. Вот. Каким образом можно объяснить, что это
состояние? Все слышали об этом. Но Будди писал «Dear for him, as it is beautiful work, but at the same time, he is sending his pure devotee to material world, where is so many adventures, so what is
happening?" It's explained that the devotee of the Lord is very merciful.
Говорится, что преданный Господа очень милостив.
Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that one shouldn't disturb the minds of the ignorant people.
Bhagavad Gita Krishna говорит, что не нужно беспокоить ум материалистичных людей.
But rather, one should engage the ignorant people in whatever activities they're following with the spirit of devotion.
Но наоборот, невежественных людей следует занимать той деятельности, которая позволит им продвинуться, очиститься.
But Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the devotees of the Lord are sometimes more merciful than the Lord.
В комментарии к этому стиху Прабхупада объясняет, что порой преданные Господа милостивее самого Господа.
And they're willing to take the risk to engage people in the Lord's service.
И он даже принимает на себя риск, занимаясь преданным служением.
So for that reason, Krishna says that they're so dear to me.
Поэтому Кришна говорит, что они так дороги ему.
His point in Bhagavad Gita is he says that no one is more dear to me than the person who's actually preaching Bhagavad Gita to the devotees.
Bhagavad Gita, он говорит, что никто так не дорог мне, как личность, проповедующая слово во мне другим.
You see, so it's like the devotees' desire to render service to the Lord.
Это потому, что преданный имеет желание, desire.
It's the devotee's desire that he will come and that he'll preach in order to render devotional service.
Это желание преданного прийти и проповедовать славу Господа.
And then what is the position of the pure devotees?
Каково же положение чистого преданного?
What did Prahlad tell Lord Nrisimhadev? He said, I've rendered so many services to you. And I don't expect anything in return.